Good afternoon. This is Nevin Campanella welcoming you to the BBS production of TNT Radio, your net radio news source. Hey, is it getting weird enough for you out there? I know it's getting weird in California. They have storms out there, folks, that you would not believe. Latest report from the Weather Bureau, on top of some of those misty mountains in California, we're talking 200 mile per hour winds. Put that in your global warming pipe and smoke it. Rather amazing, huh? No, there's no global warming. It's all in my imagination. 200 mile an hour winds? Wow. Hey, what's going on? General news. I guess I should call this a quickie. Well, the stocks dropped 240 on the Dow. How's that for a quickie? Well, this is not something new. And if you think it is, then you really got to change what you're smoking. Get off them doobies, folks, because recession is on its way. Yeah. It's a-coming, folks. It really is. This is it. The stock market is under 13,000. The Dow is under 13,000 right now. Matter of fact, last time I looked, it was down 240 points. Why? You want to know why? Unemployment. Worst figures in 2 years, according to the government figures. Now, you have to put a fudge factor in that. If it's coming out of the government, multiply that by 10. So we're talking probably the worst in a dozen years. That's the classic government fudge factor. What else is going on? I mean, we've got winds at 200 miles an hour in California. We've got stocks down 240 points. We've got unemployment the worst in 2 years. Oh, hell! George Bush says the economy is fine and there ain't no global warming. Screw him. Hey, what else is going on in the news? All you idiots that follow the Hollywood scene, Britney Spears, she's at it again, folks. You know, this sad kid just cannot get it together. Personally, I think she has got one hell of a severe alcohol problem. Anyway, apparently she got into a huge custody battle, not with her husband. Oh, hell no. She did it with the cops. She's now in a hospital. They went over to her place today. She got into a huge shouting match with the cops. Apparently went on for a couple hours. Hauled her away. She's now in a hospital. And I know that apparently there's going to be some sort of emergency meeting in terms of custody for her children. I feel sorry for all of them. That kid needs help. And she ain't getting it. And probably because of the idiots that are around her supporting her for her crazy antics. You know, the Paris Hilton syndrome shit. But there is some good news. I mean, I got a lot of bad stuff to report. But I got to report this. I just caught this on, I think it was Fox. A guy falls off a building. 500 feet up in the air, and he survived. I mean, at this moment, I don't know if he's going to die yet, but right now he's still alive. Can you imagine that? Falling 500 feet and going splat? Wow. Is it getting weird enough? You know, there used to be a bumper sticker. Is it weird enough for you? That was an old one back in the 60s. I'm going to have to cast around the net and see if I can find that. Something else that's getting weird. Homeland Security. Want to know what they're up to? You want to know what Homeland Security is about to spend $29 million on? Oh, you're going to love this one. An anti-missile laser, sounds like the Defense Department, right? You know where they're going to put it? On commercial planes. I'm not kidding. They're going to spend $29 million to put a anti-missile laser defense system on commercial planes. Are you frightened yet? See, it's not getting weird enough yet. It, obviously, it isn't. Oh, man, I can't believe it. We are really into some strange stuff. However, let's get to some of the good stuff. Sunday, I am going to have on Woodland Star Show Dr. Amy H. Sturgis. She's a literary expert, and we are going to have an hour of discussing Tolkien and his trip across the Misty Mountains, kind of like what Jill and I are going to take this April as we head towards Alabama. Anyway, it ought to be a fun show, so if you get a chance, tune in. What is going on in terms of the real world? Well, let's take a look. I think the real world is about to get defined here as as my computer is crashing around my ears. There's no way that I'm going to be able to make it through this whole show. As it's sitting in front of me, my computer screen just froze up. Oh, here we go. I actually got some movement here. Wow. The gods are with us. Let's hope it hangs in there. Let's talk about spyware for a minute. As I said, I'm about to have a major computer crash. This problem started about 2 or 3 weeks back. And like everybody else, I went through some major juggling, looking for where the problem could be. As a matter of fact, I sent an email out, and Don posted it on TNT board. I'm going to read it to you because this is useful information. This isn't bullshit. This is real information. It's got nothing to do with aliens, UFOs, or channeling. This is for real. Mystery of problem. Yesterday, I began a rather long and tedious journey into the world of spyware detection. To say the least, it's confusing and not for the timid. The protection devices are about as friendly as a dragon with an impacted tooth. Spy Sweeper. That's the name, folks, that's the name of this particular software for looking for spyware, Spy Sweeper. Okay, it installed very easy. And this program will scan your computer. However, if it finds a problem, you have to pay for it to be removed. In other words, it's a subscription program. Now, I ran the program, and I figured if it found anything, then I would call, you know, for a registration, pay for it, and have it get rid of whatever it found. Well, it didn't find anything. It didn't find a damn thing. So I kept it there, and I was told that I should do this at least three times with three different types of spyware, spy detection systems. The next one I tried was SpyBot, B-O-T. Now, this is a totally free program. It will scan and destroy any problems it finds. It will ask you if it wants you to get rid of them. I ran the program, and it, keep this in mind, I ran this right on the heels of Spy Sweeper. It found three infections. It listed them by name, and it gave me the opportunity to decide to remove them. I did. The only downside of the SpyBot software is that once it's set into motion on your computer, it starts asking you questions that unless you're a computer geek, you don't know how to answer. For instance, every time I would turn the computer on, it would let me know that something was trying to change something in the registry and would ask me if I wanted to deny or allow the change. Now, how the hell would I know? It doesn't tell me who's doing it, why it's doing it, what it is. It just says a change is being attempted from one weird file name to another. Like, I would know the answer to this, right? Of course I don't, and neither do you. However, I believe that it would be better to deny. So I went ahead and did. I timidly would press the deny button and kept my fingers crossed so I wasn't blowing up my computer. So my conclusion? Yeah, I do recommend SpyBot. Spy Sweeper? Absolutely not. The damn thing didn't find the three that SpyBot found. And Spy Sweeper is a program you have to pay for. So why pay for it, right? I consider SpyBot to be pretty good. I went ahead and did a third one, just like I was told, by the way, I was told by my son. And it's called Adware 2007. Now, talk about weird. It is, like the other two, it installs very easy. And it also had a free scan and a stated free fix. However, it will ask you if you want to register for the pro version. Now, that makes you wonder, doesn't it? I mean, if it's free scan and free fix, but there's a pro version that you have to pay for, you kind of wonder the reliability or credibility of the program, right? Well, I ran the program, and it claimed, this was after SpyBot, it claimed that I had 76 infections. Oh, I mean, damn, I really thought I fell into the black hole of Calcutta, right? So I pressed the remove button. Okay, here I am. Okay, you hit remove. Get rid of them 76 infections, right? Nothing happened. I mean, nothing. It was like the damn button was there for looks only. Yeah, the little hand came up, you know, the whole shtick. So I tried it twice. I mean, I actually uninstalled it, reinstalled it twice. Same thing, both times. So my conclusion, avoid. Avoid Adware 2007. Avoid Spy Sweeper. I recommend Spy Bot. Now, there was an additional problem I came into with, guess what? The program I'm using, Skype. You know, you really have to watch this damn software, folks. Because you don't know what it's going to do on its own. For some reason, Skype decided that every time I would encounter a phone number on a web page, it would overlay a graphic onto it and allow me to use Skype to call into that phone number. I didn't ask it to do that. It wasn't doing that 4 or 5 weeks ago. This just started kind of like on its own. So I went back into Skype, and I found the command for it, you know, where, you know, saying, you know, should I do this, should I not do this? I said, don't do that. Ran the program and still did it. The only way to get it to stop was to literally uninstall Skype and reinstall. And when I reinstall, I looked for all the options, and there it was, and I made sure that that option was not included. So, now, you think everything is correct at this point? Well, that was not the end of the problem. Remember, this whole thing started out with my computer crashing and me believing that there was some sort of spyware. It found spyware. I got rid of them. Computer still crashes. Guess why? This is lovely. It turns out I use Vista on this system. It turns out that Vista has a problem with graphic cards. That's what this has all come down to. And there's nothing you can do about it. It seems to be a random problem that occurs. It doesn't occur to everyone. It seems to be a randomly. How do I know this? I had my son sit about researching what the hell was going on. And he did some nice research. He really did. I applaud my son, Andrew. What it turns out is that Vista has problems with graphic cards. What happens is the card is unable to use enough memory from the system to operate normally. This occurs because something gets fouled up in the registry. So the application that you're looking at all of a sudden starts to fade in color, and it locks down. You can't do anything to it. Now, it usually happens mostly under conditions when you're in a website using a heavy-end database system. Now, a couple of days ago, I was into PayPal. Guess what? 30 minutes before airtime, I was into BBS, and I was trying to, I can't remember, something to do, probably was something to do with TNT message board. It locked up. And that is another issue, a database issue. So, what is the recommendation? There, apparently, the only recommendation is you have to reinstall Vista. That's the final, right now there are no other solutions. So, tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning, I will be reinstalling Vista. But maybe I should spend a minute talking here about operating systems. And believe me, I'm no expert. You know, people get all freaked out over computers crashing, and then pretty soon you have the Mac people jumping up saying, aha, I told you so, you should buy a Mac. Let me put it to you this way. I'm familiar with those systems, and here's what I have found out. The IBM-compatible PC is not extremely reliable. In other words, it has problems. The Mac is extremely reliable. So why don't I use a Mac? Because that reliability factor that comes along with the Mac also comes along with no flexibility. None at all. I mean, the system works great, but there is no flexibility in it. Compared to the old IBM-compatible stuff, you know, you pull something off the shelf and you go shove it in the computer and it works. You can't do that with a Mac. So I stick with the old IBM-compatible systems because they are flexible. Is it frustrating? Sure. Sure it's frustrating. But isn't that life? I mean, isn't that why we're here? It's also part of the entertainment, you know, there's an entertainment value to it. I'm going to wind up reinstalling Vista tomorrow. And it's going to be done over the phone with my son. I mean, he's going to give me directions. I get to learn something. So I don't get all screwed up because the computers go down. Computers are an amazing, amazing piece of equipment. They really are. Let's get on to some things I do know something about. This is a news report, and I want to report news you can actually use. I want to talk about HTML editors. Sound boring? Well, it can get boring, but if you have a need for them, it's not. And some of you out there may be looking for a WYSIWYG editor, a free one, you know, where you don't want to pay a whole lot of money. And believe me, I've been around on this many, many, many times, looking for something that's free, easy, and simple to use. Well, here's what it comes down to. There are three essential WYSIWYG free editors out there that I consider somewhat usable, okay, for different reasons. The first is PageBreeze. PageBreeze is an excellent little editor. The problem with it is that the free version does not include an FTP. The other problem with PageBreeze is that when you're actually in the HTML rather than in the WYSIWYG part, it has a difficult time, you know, with simple manipulations of the mouse and things like that. It gets a little bit frustrating sometimes. Page won't go all the way down and stuff like that. However, if you use the WYSIWYG part of it, primarily, it is a damn fine little editor, except it does not have the FTP, unless you pay for PageBreeze. The other one that I use is Trillion, and, you know, I think that comes out of Australia. I got to tell you, it has every little gadget on it you could possibly want, but the damn thing is jumpy. Now, maybe it's because of my operating system. But no matter what I do with it, it always seems to be flickering and jumping and really, really tough to use. It's kind of a pain in the ass. The only reason that I actually even keep it on my computer is because it has so many different functions, but I don't think I will include it after I do the new installation of Vista. It does have a great FTP, but it's too damn jumpy. The next one is Composer. And this is actually an open source code. Of all of them, I like it the best for actually editing. It's all free and it has a great FTP to publish your page. However, like in everything else, it's got a downside. The damn thing lacks the ability to actually view your work in IE or Firefox. But I do like the source code editor. The source code editor in Composer is good. So what I will wind up doing, as I have done in before, I'll keep both PageBreeze and Composer on my desktop, and I will shit-can Trillion. How's that for a, for a conclusion? Hey, what's going on with BBS? Well, let me tell you, folks. It is getting very, very cool. I mean, really, really cool. Pay attention here. Put your ears on. You ready for this? Don is starting to broadcast using video. I think this is going to take over the internet. Excuse me. And the reason? Because, listen, this is real time, and it makes it completely interactive. Yeah, can you imagine this? If it was set up right now, here I am sitting in front of my stupid computer. If I had a webcam on here, you could see my picture. You could see me talking. I'm sitting here in my underwear, by the way. And if you have a webcam, if you call in, I can see you. That is what you call interactive. It's getting there. I mean, BBS is getting very, very cool. Let me read you this email. This is from Don. We are now running a news program on our index page, and we'll be streaming Steve Vincent, the Freedom Message, live on our index page. Now, that was, I think, yesterday at 6 p.m. And you can go to the live video cast, go to bbsradio.com to watch. Yeah, as soon as you go to the index page, it's right there in your face. Is that cool or what? Now, if we could just keep Don out of the political arena and and stop going crazy trying to watch politics and stick with expanding BBS, this is going to get really, really cool. So, what are you seeing? What you're seeing, folks, is the beginning of a major change in how information will flow across the net. It's the start of real-time interactive net news, and who knows what else. Oh, a few comments here on the TNT board. You know, for those who are not familiar with the history of BBS, I'll give it to you because I was there at the beginning. You know, I go back to the days when Don was really bored with what he was doing. He was kind of sitting around, staring at himself in the mirror, wishing he was handsome, and thinking things that he could do. So all of a sudden, yep, and decides, oh, I think I'll open a message board. So he does. Back in those days, there was like three or four, maybe even five different message boards. And, you know, people would go into the ones that they liked the best. So they would be oriented to different topics. To tell you the truth, I can't even remember what they are anymore. The message board is a thing of the past. There is no question about it. I mean, and the only reason it's there is because BBS is too damn busy to really do anything else right now. The TNT message board itself will never disappear, and it probably will always be there in some form for those individuals who really like to use that thing. Why do I see it as a problem? The message board itself is not a problem, but the the messages themselves are. You got to understand that that type of board attracts a certain type of person who's willing to write a message, okay? And it's really outdated. I mean, it really is. One of the major problems with that type of format is the information flow is difficult to track because it relies on a board system that was originally intended as a discussion board. In other words, remember the old days of the forums and the discussions and people would have all these heated arguments, they get managed. Well, that's what that was all about. It goes way back. Now you try to track links through a board like that and it gets tough. That is one of the reasons that the open blog system started. You know, it's got categories, links, comments, and it kind of keeps things in an organized basis so you can track through them. Things are going to change. They will. But right now, BBS is so caught up in trying to get the L.A. station open that, you know, with the video and all that, it's going to be a while before that takes place. But it is going to happen. The TNT board, you know, it is really strange. The hits on it seem to be dependent on the title of the post. Now, I actually tested this once, so I know this is true. As an example, if I use a title such as, Barack gives message of hope, okay? Let's say that's the title of the post I make. It'll get about, well, maybe anywhere from 15 to 25 hits. That's probably around the average. In other words, all that really means is that people are really bored. They're sitting around at night. They got nothing else to do and say, oh, I wonder what's on the TNT board. So you get around an average of maybe 18 to 25 hits, somewhere in there. However, if I use a title such as, I'm trying to think of a good title here. Okay. Alien presence admitted by the U.S. Air Force, okay? If I put that title, I guarantee you'll have over 60 hits, easily. Anything that smacks a woo-woo to TNT board readers, they're going to suck it up like chicken soup. Now, if it's reality-based, they're not interested. So now I got a question. What the hell does this tell us about the intelligence level of people attracted to the TNT board? Yeah, it's getting pretty weird out there, folks. Washington, D.C. is weird enough. We don't have to make shit up. I mean, if you're looking for something weird, take a look at Washington, D.C. You got a president who says the economy is great, and Joe Sixpack can't buy enough gasoline to get to work. What's wrong with this, huh? We need a little bit of wisdom, and you know what? It comes by... Oddly enough, it comes by way of a link on the TNT board. This is going to get a little confusing. The original article being linked is called Killing the 100th Monkey, the Battle for Control and Censorship of Canada's Internet by the B'nai B'rith and the Canadian Jewish Congress. Now, track with me here. Please, all the woo-woos, leave the room. The other two guys that are left, stick around. You'll understand this. Now, basically, what this article is about is a complaint by the B'nai B'rith organization in Canada against Arthur Topham. Now, Arthur Topham is the editor of a blog called The Radical Press. And I highly, highly recommend that you take a look at that blog. By the way, it's called, www.radicalpress.com. Yes, it is radical. Anyway, there's this complaint lodged against him by the B'nai B'rith organization and the Canadian Jewish Congress, whatever the hell that is. I'm going to read to you now right out of his response to a complaint that was made by the B'nai B'rith organization. Now, this is his response. On November 20th, 2007, I received an envelope via Canada Post addressed to me and my website. The envelope had no return address on it, nor was it registered. Upon opening it, I learned that it contained a number of photocopied letters from the CHRC that had been sent to me earlier but had the wrong address on them, and they were returned. Also included in the envelope were copies of a complaint sent to the commission by Harry Abrams and the League for Human Rights of B'nai B'rith Canada. Harry Abrams is the British Columbia representative for said organization. The complaint was identical to one previously sent to another website owner in the spring of 2007, Al Rycroft, and that's PEJ.org. The nature of the complaint, thus worded, contends that I and my website, RadicalPress.com, are contriving, quote, to promote ongoing hatred affecting persons identifiable as Jews and or as citizens of Israel, end quote. Well, is the complaint legitimate? No! If you actually take the time to go through, what you're going to find is that the radical press simply speaks their opinion about what they see going on in the world. Yeah, they have lots of opinions and a lot of people don't agree with them. The complaint, is it all bullshit? You bet your sweet bippy is bullshit. I'm not real big on the radical approach, although I seem to be getting more radical as I get older. I would recommend you go take a look at the blog. Now, I said there was wisdom in all this. That's how I started this. Unfortunately, it's got nothing to do with this complaint. Here's where the wisdom comes. Arthur, when he decided to make his case in the public on his own blog, he starts out with a discussion about what the internet is about, discussing the freedom and free flow of information. And what he's mainly concerned about, of course, as we all are, is it being locked down by such organizations as B'nai B'rith, because they don't want to hear other people's opinions. They don't want to hear anything bad about the state of Israel. It's got nothing to do with, you know, being hatred towards Jews. It's got to do with what is the state of Israel doing as a government. Now, here comes the wisdom. He decides, Arthur Topham decides, to recount something that he considered to be very important historically as a way of demonstrating how information changes behavior. So let me start out with exactly what he said. Quote, now remember, this is from Arthur. Back in 1981, during the heyday of the anti-nuclear movement, Ken Keyes Jr., a well-known writer of the time, published a classic book entitled The Hundredth Monkey. Now, folks, if you haven't read The Hundredth Monkey, get out of woo-woo land and please go look it up on the net. You know, like, catch up. How about joining the 21st century? If you haven't read The Hundredth Monkey, you're illiterate. However, in a nutshell, the 100th monkey phenomenon was a result of scientific investigation of a Japanese monkey. Now, the species is Maka fuscata, which had been observed in the wild for over 30 years. In 1952, the scientists were given the monkeys sweet potatoes that they dropped in the sand along a river. Now, at one point, an 18-month-old female named Emo, tired of eating sweet potatoes covered with sand, decided to wash hers off in a nearby stream. She then taught this technique to her mother and her playmates. From 1952 to 1958, scientists noted that all the young monkeys learned this trick. But the older monkeys, who didn't imitate the younger ones, continued eating the sand-covered spuds. You know what, folks? So far, it sounds like our generation, right? The old folks simply won't change. However, in the fall of 1958, something truly amazing happened. The monkeys on the Koshima Island, where this was all occurring, reached a threshold in numbers one day. And using the figure of 99 monkeys, suddenly the 100th monkey also learned the new trick. And by that same evening, almost all the monkeys in the tribe were washing their sweet potatoes off. Wow. In other words, there's a critical point of information. And this occurred within this tribe of monkeys, where, you know, you see some doing it, some not doing it, kind of like the bullshit politics we got going on. But all of a sudden, it takes over. I mean, like, oh, you know, like a steam engine. And even the older generation all at once in one night. The same evening, all the monkeys are washing the sweet potatoes. Now, as Ken Keyes Jr. wrote, the added energy of this 100th monkey somehow created an ideological breakthrough. But as he goes on to further explain, that wasn't all. Spontaneously, the habit of washing sweet potatoes, listen to this, now hold on folks, jumped over the sea, and colonies of monkeys on other islands and the mainland troop of monkeys began washing their sweet potatoes. Holy shit! Do you understand what I just said? The information now flowed beyond the normal senses. In other words, you could see it, you could hear it, you could feel it, but what if that's not there? How the hell do monkeys from one island communicate to monkeys in another island? That's what's so important about this, folks. When a certain critical number achieves an awareness, this new awareness may be communicated from mind to mind. Damn! You really have got to understand this, grasp the importance of this one little experiment. As the information flows across the net, you know, there's a big push by BBS for Ron Paul. And it's not always something in which you feel really motivated, because you can see that the numbers don't always look that good. In other words, the guy's having trouble getting into the debates and so on and so forth. He's being pushed out. But he sure knows how to attract money. I mean, this guy pulls together millions of dollars across the net in one night. What's going on? What I'm saying to you is, if enough information gets out there, move it enough, fast enough, quick enough, eventually it will jump the islands. It will jump generations. It will do what you intended it to do. It will take over. Awareness will occur. I'm only using that as an example, and I want everyone to be absolutely sure that they know that I am not particularly supporting Ron Paul. I'm simply using that as an example. I'm not going to let anybody know who the hell I'm going to vote for. You want to know why? Because I don't know. I don't know. The story is both fact and metaphor, aptly and succinctly describes what has been happening to the Internet over its past 30-year evolvement. In this regard, one might also reflect on the words of a speech, "The Internet versus the State," given by Eric Garris, an activist in the USA, to a group of libertarians back in 2005, where he said, "At the 1977 Libertarian Party convention, mind expansion advocate and LSD guru Timothy Leary gave a speech that few of us took very seriously. He spoke of something called the Internet, a network that would connect computers worldwide, allowing participants from around the globe to sign on and retrieve text, photographs, audio, and video instantaneously, and to communicate in real time with anyone in the whole world who also had a computer. He said that it would be the new revolution against the current social order and the stifling status quo. He predicted it would be much, much bigger than drugs in its ability to overthrow the establishment." Pay attention here, you idiots! Woo-woos, leave the room! Overthrow the establishment with real information. Not Planet X crap. Real information. What is Ron Paul saying? That's real information. You woo-woos out there, you all want to tune in and drop out. And I'm telling you, there's a real world going on. You are either part of the solution or you're part of the problem. And if you are not doing anything to further the cause of what's happening in our great land, you are part of the problem. The people out there that want to read about UFOs, aliens, channeling, and communicating with the dead, if that's where you're spending your time, as far as I'm concerned, you're part of the problem. Anytime you want to leave the United States, please do so. You're a pain in the ass. We've got some real problems to deal with. We've got people unemployed. We have an economy that is melting down. We have people getting ready to lose their homes. We have 30% homeless of the veterans, and you want to read about what? Bullshit. Some of you just plain don't deserve to even be on the planet. Please leave anytime. Get a life. We actually can make a difference. You can be part of the solution. But not as long as you spend your time looking at all this bullshit. It's time to speak up and be counted. Which brings me to the next section. There is a post by Gerard Swan, who I happen to know. He lives in the Netherlands. He made a post. He didn't say a whole lot about it, but I got to tell you, what he did was he provided a link to a website called the 2007 International Privacy Ranking. Whoa, you got to take a look at this. You really need to look. What it is, it's a map of the world and color-coded. The color coding will show you how much regard is being paid to privacy. In other words, are your rights, your inalienable rights, are they being protected? Guess who's at the... Guess who's in the blacklist, along with Russia? The United States. You need to take a look. You know, and I would, I'm a little afraid to click on the link right now for fear of losing my computer system. But I do remember from having looked at it earlier today, that along with Russia, the United States is just the bottom of the barrel is color-coded in black. Is there any truth to that? Of course there is. Again, woo-woos, please leave the room. There's some real shit going on in Washington, D.C. You got a do-nothing Congress, an absolutely do-nothing-nothing Congress, whether they're Democrats or Republicans. They don't do a damn thing but collect money. You've got a totally insane president. Why he hasn't been impeached? Because you've got a do-nothing Congress. What are you doing along with the do-nothing Congress? Are you getting on the net? Are you writing into the blogs? Are you making legitimate comments about what's going on? Are you supporting a particular candidate? I don't give a damn who you support. Support someone. What are you doing? Besides eating Twinkies, you're not doing a damn thing but playing with yourself. Do something. Get into action. Big Brother is taking over. But you can make a difference. You can actually do something. Don't let the naysayers tell you you can't. They're full of shit. They're hired by the government to be naysayers, to put you down. You know what else is being hired by the government? Yeah, and I know you're not going to believe this one. The people are talking to you about, the end of the world stuff, the Planet X stuff. That's disinformation, folks. Wake up out there. Hello, are you awake? Planet Earth, this is Planet Earth calling you. People need to get together and discuss. You know, you have a caucus, like as in. Yeah, you knew what the next one was going to be, didn't you? The Iowa caucus. Wow. You know, I got to tell you, I left the whole arena, kind of dropped out of society years ago. And the last time I had voted was when Jimmy Carter was running for president. The man gives away the Panama Canal. At that point, I decided, man, this is beyond me. I got out of the whole political arena. I wanted nothing to do with it. But I started waking up a little while ago. Yeah. And I saw some really bad shit going down. I mean bad. The maniac in the White House is just totally beyond me. Totally outrageous. Absolutely ludicrous. Even Lee Iacocca, remember that name? Head of Chrysler? He wrote a book, and he's saying, who the hell are these assholes? You got the head of Chrysler saying this. Something is wrong, folks. And you know what it is? It's your lack of action. That's what's wrong. Yeah, that's what it is. The Iowa caucus. Hillary flopped. The Hillary machine lost it. It went belly up. Can you believe that? She came in almost tied with Edwards. I got to tell you, I was surprised. I was. I wouldn't have predicted it. I was pretty confident that, the heartland on the Democratic side would go for Hillary. Something went wrong. Barack Obama came out on top by quite a lead. It wasn't tiny. And I listened to his speech. And as a matter of fact, I listened to all the speeches given. And I got to tell you, he gave one hell of a speech. It was all about hope. Let's get to a blog. This is from the Democratic Arsenal, Obama's speech. Quote, oh, I know I'm in the tank for Obama already, but the speech he gave last night was simply extraordinary. One of the best campaign speeches I've ever heard. Can you imagine being a voter who doesn't know much about Obama seeing that performance? He just seemed so damn presidential. Hard to believe. 3 years ago, he was a state Senate president. I would say, watch this speech. It was his introduction to millions of Americans who may know little about him. He was under enormous pressure to do well, and the guy hit one out of the park. If he wins this thing, I think we'll all look back at that speech as the moment he mulched it. The speech worked because it did all the things that a great campaign address should do. It provided voters with a truly hopeful and inspiring vision for the view, which I can't say either Edwards or Clinton provided. Let me stop here for a second. I'll tell you what was wrong with Clinton's speech. Not so much Edwards, but Clinton. You know, I'll be really upfront. I don't like Hillary Clinton. I just don't like her as a person, okay? She just rubs me wrong. But you know, when she spoke, again, she was not speaking to Joe Sixpack. She was speaking to the Democratic Party. And all of a sudden, she's talking about global warming in her speech. She actually brings this up, global warming. You know, at the end of the caucus, why are you talking about global warming? Joe Sixpack cannot provide enough money to pay his mortgage, put gas in his car, and feed his kids, and you're talking about global warming? Of course you're going to come off looking like an asshole. And that's what happened. Obama, I'm back to it, folks. Obama won. Got a real sense that if he wins, we're on the verge of genuine political change in this country. Along those lines, it was one of the most unifying messages you're ever likely to hear from a presidential candidate. For months, people have been arguing that Obama's problem is that he's not angry enough, that he's not energized, pissed off Democrats who hate Bush. Yesterday, he proved how silly that argument really is. There was not a note of rancor in that speech. No us versus them arguments. and the only real straw man he provided was one sure to energize plenty of Americans. It was the status quo. In other words, folks, look, what the author here is saying is that Obama is saying, we're going to get rid of the status quo. Something has got to change. I listened to his speech, and I'm telling you, I was energized. I started actually believing him. I turned to my wife. I said, Jill, I said, you believe what he's saying? Yeah, we're kind of starting to agree. Yeah, we're starting to believe this man. It was a potent, potent speech. You get a chance, listen to it. It's all about hope. Am I telling you to vote for him? No. That's something you have to make up your own mind on. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I'm not going to tell you who I'm going to vote for. But what I am going to tell you is do something. I don't care who it is. Become a patriot. Love your country. Get out of woo-woo land. All those TNT message board reporters who are off in la-la land, go away. Go away. You're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. You want to talk about hope? I'll give you hope. Listen to Obama's speech. You'll get all you want. You live in a real world. Grab hold of your bootstraps and pull yourself up. Now, on the other side, I did also listen to the speech by Huckabee. I'm not very impressed with Huckabee, okay? My own personal opinion is that he's simply probably not swift enough to actually do the job as president. And I think right now what you saw in Iowa is basically him picking up the very far-right Christian evangelical type of vote. Come on, folks. You can't vote for somebody because of their religion. And I think that's what went on in Iowa last night with the Republicans, is that Huckabee picked up Iowa because he's a minister, or excuse me, a past minister. He talks a good story. He also pulled a little trick. You know, he at one point he said he wasn't going to do any attack ads on Romney. So what does he do? He calls a news gathering together and says, I am not going to run this ad. And then he says to all the news reporters, however, I want you to see this ad, but it's not going out to the public. The guy is pretty tricky, but I really don't think he's smart enough to be president. And I'm not so sure that I would want somebody running the United States, you know, the most powerful, I would like it, the most powerful individual on the planet. And that's what the president is. I mean, the person who sits in that chair is the most powerful individual on the planet. How would you like them making guideline rules by way of the Christian Bible? Yeah, that's exactly what might happen. Yeah, he's a little bit too religious for me. And not that I don't have anything against religion per se. People can believe in what they want. But when you start making it part of your own campaign for president of the United States, that kind of rubs me the wrong way. I'd rather keep religion out of this. Well, Chris Dodd and Joe Biden dropped out of the contest. And I like Joe. Good old guy. But a little bit too old line hard like a Democrat. Now, this is from the Northwest Progressive Institute, their official blog. A jubilant... I got to close, folks. Going out, here I go, and I am done.